Merry Christmas. Here we are, met at the nativity scene set out before us. All of its characters have taken their places in this story about the birth of Jesus from Luke's gospel, which we just read. Look closely, and you may find some unexpected people. You will find musicians and those who bring food for the couple. There are also three cats and a dog in there, and some ducks. I might have added some birds, but that's another story. I'm wondering if you find yourself in the nativity scene as well. I'm wondering if you have ever had an encounter with any of its figures. Frank McCourt wrote the book Angelus Ashes, and he tells this story about his mother. This is a true story which she told to him when he was 7 years old, and he has carried it all of his life. And now I am telling it to you. When Angela was 6 years old, she felt sorry for the baby Jesus in the Christmas crib. It was at St. Joseph's Church near the Schoolhouse Lane where she lived. She thought that the baby Jesus was cold, and she wondered why no one had given him a blanket to cover his plump little body. Now, when she looked at him, he looked happy enough, smiling up at his mother, the Virgin Mary, and at St. Joseph and the three shepherds carrying their little lambs all secure in their fur. Little Angela was often cold and hungry herself, and she loved Jesus, so she decided that she had to do something for him. She hid in the confession booth. She was there just a couple of days before Christmas, and she waited until the church was empty. She wanted to take care of the baby Jesus before he turned blue. When she lifted him up from the manger, she was surprised by how cold and stiff he felt. He was not soft like the other babies in her neighborhood. He was smiling at her the way he smiled at everyone else, and she loved the way his arms and his hands reached out. Now, she knew she couldn't take him in the front door at home, so she decided that she had to climb over the wall in the backyard. So she tried throwing him over the wall because she couldn't climb herself while she was carrying him. And the first time he landed in the neighbor's backyard, but she was blind, so she didn't see a thing. Then she tried it again, and he landed in her backyard, and she went to retrieve him. Suddenly, out of the night, comes the voice of her brother Pat. "Is that the baby Jesus you have there?" "'Tis," she said. "He's supposed to be sleeping in his crib in the church. Now you have him out here in the freezing cold." "I'm warming him up," she said. And she went to put him under the covers in her own room. Soon enough, Pat told his mom and the whole family, and they all went upstairs to see the baby Jesus in the bed, where he was, still smiling, and where his arms were still reaching out. "Mother of God," said little Angela's mother, "is that the baby Jesus from St. Joseph?" "'Tis," said Angela. "He was cold in the crib, and I wanted to warm him up." "Oh, Angela, we have to take him back. His folks will be worried, and the priest will be upset." So back to the church they went with the baby Jesus, who was now wrapped in Angela's mother's shawl. And they were met by the parish priest and also a policeman. Everything was explained, and the baby Jesus smiled the way he had always done. And he held out his arms to the world while he was put back in the manger. Angela's courage and faith were a part of her whole life. And Frank's story about her is quite moving. She made me think about Mary, who was brave, from the angel's announcement to the arrival in Bethlehem. What courage it took to say yes to God. What courage it took to talk to Joseph and to care for a child whose destiny was beyond her comprehension. To nurture and to tend, to keep safe, to endure tears of happiness and grief, to share her son with all the world. And I marvel at Joseph's courage too. He is often overshadowed or even written out of the art of the Nativity. In her book, Kneeling in Bethlehem, Anne Weems writes, "Who put Joseph at the back of the manger? Who dressed him in brown robes and gave him a staff like a shepherd? Who made him only background? This man, in spite of gossip, in spite of a murderous king, listened to angels and kept the child safe. He had a brave heart. He was a bewildered parent, but a man who risked believing that he had a role to play in this story of God." Luke's gospel that you just heard does not deal with the inner life of Mary and Joseph. That's kind of supposition. But the details in this familiar story are important. Luke contrasts the power of Rome with the power of God. And he suggests that the followers of Jesus will always be on the move from the place of their birth to the ends of the earth. By placing Jesus in a manger, which was a feeding trough, Luke is telling us a communion story where we know that the echo is, "This is my body, given for you." Bethlehem literally means house of bread. Wrapped in cloth like other babies, Luke wants us to know the humanity of Jesus. And of course, there is the message of the one who sent him for all people, for those who wait, those who work, those who hear angel voices, those who are surprised by the unexpected. The settings, the people, the message of love comes to all of us. Here we catch sight of a radical goodness, more vast than we usually can see. Here is the very word of God breathed toward us and breathed into us. Perhaps you need the gift of courage also to see if this story is really true for you. Marion Buddy, who is the Episcopal Bishop in Washington, D.C., our main pulpit is at the National Cathedral, has written a new book, How We Learn to Be Brave. She says that we take very many small and brave steps, and we risk being wrong, we risk learning new patterns, we risk growing more deeply into the mystery of our own stories and of God's story. Maybe you want to be brave enough to put yourself in the manger scene. Maybe you would like to have courage to to put your trust in the one who is among us. Maybe you want to be brave enough to not be afraid, or brave enough to tell others about what we have seen and heard and have come to know about God and our own gifts in response to that love. Maybe you want to be brave enough to care about all the people, or brave enough to place Jesus at the center of your life, where his light shines in the darkness of the world and in the midst of everything that frightens us. Maybe you want to be brave enough to claim that this story is your story. When you get right down to it, Buddy says, the only purpose good enough for a human life is to love. And not just to love, but to risk it, to pursue it, to persist in love. And that's why God sets this manger in front of us, so that we may find our place there and to gaze in wonder. Maybe this year we will have the courage to carry Jesus home with us, even if it does mean tossing him over a wall or two. It will always mean sharing him with others. Amen.